The Health and Fitness Show with Dr. Diane Cooper in association with The Hearing Consultancy. Experiencing hearing difficulties? Book your free hearing test at one of our clinics in Kinnegad, Mullingar or Tullamore and get impartial advice on hearing aids, ear protection, tinnitus help and more. TheHearingConsultancy.ie.
You're very welcome to the Health and Fitness Show here on Midlands 103. On the show this evening, we'll be speaking with Dr. Mark Rowe. He is a medical doctor and founder of In the Doctor's Chair podcast. And Mark will be talking with us all about the importance of self-care, how to recharge from stress, and the many small things that can help us to be our best self. We'll also be speaking with Dr. Ciara Ward, exercise physiologist with EduFit in Port Arlington, about all things muscle. And finally, we'll be speaking with Ursula Harper from the community section in Westmead County Council about the fantastic upcoming funding opportunities for community and voluntary groups in Westmead. I'm absolutely delighted to be joined on the line by Dr. Mark Rowe. Now, Mark is a medical doctor. He is the founder of the Waterford Health Park and also in the Doctor's Chair podcast. He has written a number of award-winning books in this area of health and wellness and lifestyle medicine. And it's a real treat to have him here today. Mark, thanks so much for giving us your time.
Good morning, Diane, and thanks for having me.
Mark, I have been, over the last while, I've been seeing some wonderful posts by you, and particularly in this time of the year where, you know, it's a new year and traditionally people start to set their goals and make their plans and, oh, this year I'm definitely going to get fitter, I'm definitely going to do this. And you know, you get this kind of influx of nearly pressure that, you know, you're trying to add to yourself to already very busy schedules. But I've seen you talking a lot about things which are so important, like self-care and compassion and looking after ourselves and minding our health. And so what I'm wondering is, for all of our listeners today, because it is the new year, so, you know, have you any kind of advice for people in on the lines of self-care and self-compassion and things like that?
Well, you know, there's so much I could say in response to that question, Diane, but I think, you know, I would never try and tell anybody else what they should do. But of course, there are so many possibilities and opportunities for people, particularly as we enter the new year. But I think rather than thinking about another long to-do list of I must do this and I must do that or I should do this, and inevitably that leads to people beating themselves up with, you know, feelings of guilt or feelings of inadequacy or feelings of negative comparison. I think a much more realistic approach is simply to start with being, and we are human beings. We're not human doings. We're not KPIs of economic activity. And by moving to being, I mean being kinder to yourself, being kinder to those people you work with, being kinder to those people that you spend your time with, and you know, being kinder to yourself really is all about self-compassion. You know, quietening your inner critic, that, you know, that inner voice that we all have that so often tells us why things aren't good enough or why maybe it's too late or we're too old or whatever. And to try and bring some very simple actionable strategies into your life that can really make an enormous difference to what we call our health span. Now, people will be very familiar with the term lifespan, and that's, you know, how long you live. And of course, you know, we're all going to die, unfortunately, and that's the wheel of life, as it were. And but with positive lifestyle habits and with a fair wind in your back, because there's always an element of luck, as we always know,
sure,
with these things,
mm-hmm,
you tip the odds in your favor and you may be able to increase your lifespan. But much more importantly, you really will be able to increase your health span. And health span is the number of years and the amount of time you stay healthy for. And that's fantastic because, you know, the majority of ill health now is caused by what are known as chronic health conditions, whether it's diabetes or heart disease or other conditions largely due to accelerated aging. And we now know that these conditions are largely preventable,
mm-hmm,
if you pay attention to your everyday lifestyle habits. And by everyday lifestyle habits, I'm talking about the amount of exercise and movement you take, the quality of the food you eat, the restorative sleep you give yourself, and being able to recharge from stress, which you really, there's so much stress and distraction in the world nowadays. There's so many things going on. It's hard not to feel stressed at times. We all do. But stress in itself is neither good nor bad. It's our ability to recharge from stress that really makes all the difference. And, you know, I think a lot of people, I've seen this in my work as a GP, many people are suffering from toxic stress.
Sure.
Mm. You know, for all sorts of reasons, whether it's financial or relationships or workplaces or life itself, or there's so much bad news on the media nowadays. It would be hard not to feel stressed. But to give yourself or gift yourself enough time, enough downtime to recharge from stress, and to understand that, you know, building what I call micro moments of positivity or micro moments of human connection or micro moments of movement, these small little things throughout your day can make a world of a difference that can stop you marinating in that stress hormone cortisol, which causes, you know, accelerated aging and causes you to feel more tired and fatigued and irritable and stressed, and burns a hole in your willpower muscles, and you crave more carbohydrate calories, or you crave distraction, or you crave comfort. And enable yourself, I suppose, fundamentally, to be more like the person that you are really meant to be. Because each and every one of us is unique. Each and every one of us has tremendous ability. And if sometimes if we can, as I say, get out of our own way and allow ourselves to really just be ourselves, warts and all, no one's perfect, nor should they be, but just to be yourself and to really get the most out of this beautiful, wonderful life that we've been gifted.
Sure, and that's the word, gifted. It is a gift. You know, it's not a guarantee that we're all going to get to old age, and it's not a guarantee that we'll all have a good health span. It's a gift. Every day is a gift, and particularly in this lifestyle space of which obviously I've been working in for a long time as well. In terms of, like, everyone can get very overwhelmed with the, because it is about the little things. It's the little things that make a massive difference to your life. But often I think because of all of the things that are thrown at us in social media, even if I just pick two, if I pick exercise and if I pick nutrition and all of the different diets and all of the different things being pushed at people, that can really seem like an unmanageable mountain for anyone to ever adopt to actually get health benefits from. And then of course there's so many mixed messages and all sorts of stuff coming at us that many people don't realise, well, what's the right advice, or where's the evidence for that, or how do I even know if this is evidence based, and all of these things. But a key part is what you're saying is that to try and not complicate things and do the little things that can offer us massive health benefits.
They are, as you said, Diane, they are really, really important, and people do get such conflicting, confusing messages at times. Here's what I would say about exercise. Movement is medicine. And the more you can move, the better. Moving for as little as 10 minutes will change your emotional state, starting to dampen down stress hormones and enabling you to feel more self-confident and feel more positive and feel more creative. You know, so it's great to move. If you can move outdoors, in nature, I call that exercise squared. You know, there's some wonderful benefits from being in a natural environment. And research has shown that about 2 hours over the entire week, if you can spend 2 hours in nature over the entire week, it's a wonderful way to really sustainably enhance your well-being.
Absolutely.
I think a blind spot for many people is that, you know, strength training is for everybody. And, you know, a saying I use a lot, Diane, that I'm very fond of is be stronger to live longer. And, you know, strength training from the age of about 35 onwards, we start to lose lean muscle mass each year. And what that does, as our muscles become weaker and we lose more muscle mass, we become a little bit frailer, and that can weaken our bones. That's particularly important for women when they get into the postmenopause stage. But even for men as well, as you lose muscle mass, you tend to become flabbier. You become frailer, it impacts your balance, you're more likely to fall over and slip, maybe then break your hip or something like that, then you can lose your independence. So strength training is for everybody. I would routinely tell patients of mine in their 70s or 80s to start lifting weights.
Yeah.
I have patients in their 80s that I've sent to hire to get personal trainers and get into a class. I mean, it can make an enormous difference.
Absolutely.
Over a short period of time. I want to tell you about a lady that was in with me recently. And, you know, she had had a lot of stress in her life over the last couple of years. And when she was younger, she used to run, but she just didn't feel she had the, she didn't have the bandwidth. She didn't have the spare capacity to get back to running. But what she did do, I suggested that she start really, just really, really small and think about what's the smallest thing you could do to start to improve your health. So she started running. I think this is brilliant. She started running for just 1 minute in the morning. She put her runners beside her bed. She'd get up, put on her tracksuit, put on her runners and go out, and she'd run up and down her laneway for 1 minute, and then she'd come back and get on with her day. What she found was after a few weeks, that 1 minute turned into 5 minutes, turned into 10 minutes. And within a few months, she was regularly running 5K in the morning. But here's the thing. Even on her worst days, when she felt the busiest, the most stressed, or felt she didn't have, you know, the energy and it was wet and windy outside, mm-hmm. she would still make herself run for that 1 minute. And I think that's a great example of how to build an unbreakable habit. It's to actually really start small and think about, well, what's the smallest thing I could do that if I did it would show me that I value my health and I'm moving forward in the direction of the person I want to become. And, you know, she's feeling so much better. She's really proud of herself, and rightly so, that she's rekindled this habit of exercise. And she's reaping the benefits. She's feeling a lot less stressed. She's got more energy. She's got more vitality. So I think, you know, at any age, at any stage in our lives, beginning to move more can make a big difference, not just to our energy. And unfortunately, there's this message out there that exercise is all about losing weight, which is all about, it's very much the wrong message.
Sure, yeah.
I think the real benefits of exercise are on the inside. You think more clearly, you feel more positive, it boosts your emotional bank account with more positivity. You feel more creative. And because of that, you have your more bandwidth, you have more energy to do the things that you want to do.
Mark, when people don't have a history of exercise and they think, well, you know, I must be sweating doing exercise, or I'm not doing it right. I must be feeling under pressure. I must be doing all of these things or I won't get the benefits from it. It's actually the opposite. And it's difficult for people to get benefits from exercise when you have yourself under so much pressure doing the exercise.
Yeah.
And that's not what exercise is about. It's about starting where you are now and taking it very, very slowly into something that you, as you say, can build into a daily habit that you can sustain. And that's where you get the benefits from.
Absolutely. Even something as simple as committing to stand up more during your day can make an enormous difference. There was a search recently that showed that if you spend your entire day sitting down, Diane, and now you change to stand for 3 to 4 hours a day, cumulatively over a year, that's the equivalent of running 10 marathons. That's the difference. So small incremental changes in your daily habits can make an enormous difference because of that magic ingredient called time. See, the clock is ticking, the sun keeps moving, you know, day turns into night, one day turns into 6 months very, very quickly. So those small little things, small little nudges, small little positive increments of movement can make a big difference. And it's the same when it comes to nutrition. I mean, what I generally like to advise people when it comes to nutrition is simply try and eat more foods that are good for your health. So there's two key messages here. One is, and I have all this on my podcast, In the Doctor's Chair, you know, first is eat more colour.
Yeah.
Try and eat a rainbow in colour each day, from, you know, beetroot and blueberries at one end to red peppers and everything in between. Because within that rainbow of colour are likely to be over 100,000 health boosting and health supporting phytochemicals. These are substances that can boost your cells and just make all the little processes in your body, you know, tick over and work better. And at a very practical level, you know, if you can eat 30 different plant-based foods over the entire week, that's a great way to support your microbiome. The microbiome are the, you know, trillions of bugs in your gut that we now know are involved in many bodily processes involved with your immune system, cellular inflammation, energy and all sorts of things. In fact, recent research has shown that people who ate a lot of plants and a lot of colour were far less likely to get moderate or severe COVID-19 infection, because that's the immune-boosting benefit of eating foods that support your microbiome. So to get back to that idea of 30 different plant-based foods a week, each different type of seed, if you eat seeds like chia seeds, flax seeds, sesame seeds, they count as, that's three. All the different types of nuts, assuming you're not allergic to nuts, they all count individually. All the different types of whole grains, all the different types of beans, peas, lentils, all the individual vegetables, all the individual mushrooms, all the individual fruits. So 30 different plant-based foods over the week, it's quite achievable, quite realistic. And doing that week in and week out can make an enormous difference to your long-term health in terms of boosting your immune system, in terms of boosting your energy, and enabling you to be closer to your best self each and every day.
Sure, and really as well, which is a nice way of thinking of things, and it's something that we would like. So you're looking at adding, you're adding colour, adding nutrients, and it's the opposite of what normally happens in January, where there can be a lot of talk about restricting and cut this and rules and regulations on all of this stuff. It really is very depressing and can be very harmful. So the adding of the nutrients and the colour to the diet is certainly the way to go.
It's much more sustainable. If you're moving towards something that's positive, it's much more appealing than running away from something that's negative.
Sure.
There's an old saying that says, if you're running away from something, then something is chasing you. And so that's a mindset. So if you're saying to yourself, I'm never eating chocolate or crisps again, okay? 8 o'clock Monday morning, when your immune, when your willpower is at its strongest, of course the never again is heard clearly in your brain. But you get to Thursday evening or Friday evening, and you're tired and stressed. And you've had a busy week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the willpower muscle is burned out, and now you're just hearing in your mind chocolate or crisps. Give me chocolate. Give me crisps. I deserve it. So this idea about sort of I can't have this or I can't have that. It's not a good way to live your life. Now, of course, if somebody has a serious life-threatening addiction in terms of alcohol or whatever, then that's different. But I'm talking about for general things in terms of your health. Much better to state something positively and connect it to your own inner sense of values, to know your why. So why do you want to eat more colour? Why do you want to eat more plant-based foods? Why do you want to move more? Well, for me, as a GP, as a medical doctor, it's simply because I value my health.
Mm-hmm.
For me, health is a priceless gift, and I want to do everything I can to support my health and enable me to be myself every day and do all the things I want to do in the world. So, for me, health is priceless. Without it, you can do nothing. And our health is never static. Everything is constantly changing. Our people might say, well, it's a new year, but I'm not changing. I'm staying right as I am. And that's grand. And I know where someone's coming from. But the reality is we're constantly changing. Even 10% of our bone cells change each year. Our skin cells change every few days. Our blood cells change every few months. So change is constant. So the real question then, when you understand that at a cellular level, the change is constant, then the question becomes, well, how do I want to change? Do I want to change in a health-enhancing way, or do I want to change in a health-depleting way? Because time is passing, and, you can make very small little tweaks or adjustments or nudges that can tip the scales or tip the direction from health-depleting to health-enhancing. If you think of a boat on the ocean, it changes its direction by just one degree, it's going to arrive at a completely different destination.
Yeah.
And that's really the key thing about health, is that you don't need to make massive changes. You just need to understand, I think. Start with by understanding why health is important to you and what are the benefits from doing something like eating the plant-based foods or moving more. And then asking yourself, well, how is this important to me? We hope it is. How confident am I that I can begin to do this? And then who could I get around me that could help me make this more likely? Have I got friends that are interested in improving their health as well? Could we form a little WhatsApp group, or could we have a little, could we meet up once a week and chat about how we're getting on? So we bring some kind of accountability into the equation, and, you know, reward yourself then for making those changes.
Sure, absolutely. Mark, it's very obvious, it's very clear that you have devoted your life to helping people to be at their best health and their best self. What I'm wondering is, can you tell us a little bit more about your journey and kind of what you do in your week? Come on to your books as well.
Well, yeah, I feel very lucky. I mean, I have a great job. I'm a family doctor, a GP. I have been now for about 27 years, and I have a lovely practice in Waterford City. I bought an old convent building about 16 years ago, and we restored it into a beautiful health park. We have a vegan cafe on site, a healing garden. If people are ever in the Waterford area, you can come in and have a cup of coffee there and see it. It's really an absolute gem of a space. I work in a community where I grew up. I grew up just down the road. So I'm working in my own patch, as it were. And I suppose during the last economic crash, you know, I was seeing so many people that were really struggling, trapped by, you know, financial pressure, losing their jobs, negative equity, downward debt spiral, all that kind of stuff. And young people at the time who had no commitments, a lot of them emigrated. You know, they went to London, Australia, whatever.
Yeah. Mm.
There was a lot of families that were trapped. They had kids, they had commitments. They couldn't move. And I was seeing a lot of people that were really stressed and really kind of, they didn't really have a sense of hope or purpose. And more than pills or Prozac, even though medication can be wonderful and important at times, people needed more than that. And really, that's really when I began to look at how I could bring these ideas from philosophy. I mean, I would consider myself a Stoic philosopher myself. I mean, I love Marcus Aurelius and Epictetus and Seneca, those kind of ideas. I mean, Seneca once said, you know, what progress am I making in this life? I'm learning to be a friend to myself. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful line.
Mm, absolutely.
And I began to teach people about the benefits of simply writing things down, keeping a written gratitude practice, writing about your best possible future self, even writing about your struggles and learning how to reframe the difficulties you were going through the lens of how you could grow and how you could develop a new sense of meaning. And I found that people really responded to that. And that really was, about, I suppose, you know, maybe 14 years ago now. And that was the beginning of my journey, let's call it, into the area of well-being. And I suppose one thing has led to another. I've written three books. You know, my first book, The Men's Health Book, The Prescription for Happiness in 2015, and my recent book, The Vitality Mark by Gill, came out last Easter, and that's been very, very popular here in Ireland. I got to do a TED Talk in UCD, The Doctor of the Future, Lifestyle as Medicine, and I've been really fortunate. I'm asked to give keynotes and to all sorts of organizations. So I'm very, very lucky. So I'm really passionate about health and well-being and vitality and really do what I can to try and get that message out there. During the lockdown of COVID a couple of years back, I began to do daily videos on social media. And, you know, people, because a lot of my patients at the time couldn't come in or there was a lot of fear,
sure,
particularly early on. And it was a way of reaching people and just getting very simple messages out to support people. So, you know, I do try and put out a positive message or quote or idea every day on my social media channels at Dr. Mark Rowe. And really, it's all in support of encouraging really people to increase their health span, improve their well-being and live with more vitality. I really do like that word, encourage. It comes from French, I believe, encourage, with courage. And I really think it's a great idea, you know, not to tell people what they should do. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to be told what to do. From about the age of 11 on, I think we'll decide for ourselves, and that's as it should be. But I think we can be encouraged. and supported.
And supported, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think really, for me, that's really where I see, you know, the future of health, certainly the future of my own career, is to be seen as an encourager. And if people recognise that, then I feel I'm succeeding.
Absolutely fantastic, Mark. I want to thank you so much for giving us your time today. And of course, we can absolutely hear more from your podcasts in the Doctor's Chair. So, Mark, thanks very much. And I just want to wish you the very, very best in all that you do moving forward.
Thanks so much, Diane. And thanks very much for having me. It's been a great privilege. And I hope I've been of some value to your listeners.
Absolutely.
Have a great year.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark. Thanks. So I want to ask you a question. Do you ever think about your muscles? Do you think about what they do for you every day? Do you think about how they work? Do you think about how to look after them? Do you know how to look after them? Do you think about how they change over time and how this might impact your health and functionality and your health span? So that might sound like a strange question, but we're going to talk about muscles and the importance of muscles. And joining me this evening is Dr. Ciara Ward. She is an exercise physiologist with EduFit. Ciara, before the break, we were speaking with Dr. Mark Rowe, and he happened to mention the importance of resistance training, particularly after the age of 35. And I know that a recent publication has just come out, and you're going to tell us all about the wonderful benefits of resistance training. You're very welcome to the show.
Hi, Diane. Thank you so much for having me.
So, muscles. So I think this is important. So I know, Ciara, you were reading a paper recently, and we're going to have a quick chat about that. So a little bit of a research corner here on the Health and Fitness Show. But what you and I will know, and anyone working in this space will know, that there are lots of recommendations for exercise, but And there's lots of conversation about the benefits of exercise. But I suppose in the mainstream, what is generally focused on is aerobic exercise. So you'll hear about the aerobic recommendations for health, which is 30 minutes most days of the week. And what we mean by aerobic is things like walking or dancing or swimming or cycling or those types of activities that use your whole body. And of course, there are numerous benefits to that type of activity. But there are also other health related components of fitness, like balance, like flexibility. And the big one that especially really once we leave our 30s that we need to really consider and do more of is in the muscle space or the strength space. So Ciara, can you tell us, you've been reading, can you tell us, I know a paper has just come out all about the wonderful benefits of strength training. So you might give us an intro into that, please.
Yeah, of course. So as exercise physiologists, we usually look to the American College of Sports Medicine for our recommendations. So this is a membership organisation that integrates scientific research, education and practical applications. And they have just launched a new journal, and it's called Exercise, Sport and Movement Journal. And the first paper that was published in January there is by Sawan and colleagues. And it's titled The Health Benefits of Resistance Training Beyond Hypertrophy and Big Weight. So when we say hypertrophy, that means an increase in the size of muscle. So one of the main points, as you said, Diane, is that aerobic training recommendations are at the forefront of physical activity recommendations. So we see the 30 minutes per day of exercise all over social media and infographics and posters, but
which of course is great, yeah, and there's loads of benefits to that. But we're trying to bring, I suppose you're trying to bring awareness to this other type of training now, which we certainly need to focus on, which is resistance training.
Yeah, exactly. So a definition of resistance training would be an organized process of exercising with various types of resistance to enhance muscular fitness. So that's your muscle strength, your muscle endurance and your muscle power. So by resistance, we can mean body weight, free weights, resistance bands, machine weights and things like that. But I know in EduFit we really try to look at even using household items like water bottles or tin cans. So it's any type of resistance that you can put on your muscle.
Yeah, and even functional things like, you know, getting up and down out of a chair, like we call that sit to stand, or simple, you know, while the kettle is boiling, do a squat challenge. So basically, how many squats can you do while the kettle is boiling, or can you do, counter push-ups while the kettle is boiling? So all of those types of things count as resistance training. So I actually quite like the title of that paper where it mentions beyond hypertrophy and heavy weights, because I think often the conversation, when we'd be talking to people, they might say to me, well, you know, I don't do weights because I heard I'll just get, you know, really big muscles and I don't want that. So I think it's important to say that that type of muscle gain is a complete science in itself. It's a huge amount. It's a very specific type and amount of training that you need to do. It's a very specific type and amount of nutrition that you need to adhere to. It's a science in itself. That's not going to happen to you from doing the recommendations for resistance training per week for health, which we'll come on to in a second. So, you know, there's no fear of that. Like, personally, I've been doing weights a few times a week for many, many years, and I still don't look like that. So it's actually quite difficult to achieve. But what you will be at risk of is getting all of the wonderful benefits of resistance training, which I'd like to talk about now in a minute. But Ciara, can you give us the guidelines? So what should we be doing in a week to get benefits from resistance training?
Yeah, so the ACSM released the new updated guidelines in 2020. And within that, it says muscle strengthening exercises at moderate or greater intensities. So moderate would be when you can talk when you're doing the exercises, 2 or more days per week involving all major muscle groups. So that is all upper body, all lower body, the big muscle groups. So that's the main recommendation for that for health.
So twice a week, and you're to be honest, when you're if you're working all of the major muscle groups in the body, it'll probably take you maybe 20 minutes, you know, to get around to all of that. So you're looking at 20 to 30 minutes a couple of days a week to get so many benefits. So we might move on to the benefits, Ciara, of this type of training.
Yeah, so I really liked how this paper broke it down into simple topics. So the topics it covered were mobility, cognitive function, cancer survivorship, metabolic health, and mortality. And I think it just broke it up nicely, really, to highlight the different benefits. So if we look at mobility, so under that category, it looked at aging and the association with sarcopenia. So that's the age-related loss of muscle mass, strength, and function. And this is inversely related to morbidity, which is the incidence of diseases, and mortality, which is death. So the lower your muscle mass, the more at risk you are of other diseases and bad health.
Particularly so, as we age.
Yes, exactly. And as you said, Diane, you know, the age-related loss of muscle mass can start at the age of 30. So it's so, so important that we start this from 30s upward. Resistance training is so important. But the health impacts of sarcopenia are a reduced physical performance. So that can be slower walking speed, decreased ability to perform activities of daily living. So bringing the bins out or carrying your shopping bags, a decreased ability to perform functional activities. So as you mentioned, the getting up out of the chair easily or getting up out of bed easily in the morning, and an increased risk of falls.
Sure.
And
so
we know that
you're going to have poor balance. If you have poor strength, you're going to have poor balance. And as you mentioned, functional activities, you're going to have difficulties with steps, getting up and down off steps, all of the things that you have to encounter in your day. And of course, falls, Ciara, cause all sorts of havoc.
Yeah, absolutely. So they can really decrease quality of life and exacerbate cognitive function decline. So the big thing is, the sarcopenia can really lead to like a decrease in deterioration of, you know, other physiological systems, increased hospitalization, and decreased independence, which we don't want as we get older. But the good news is that resistance training can mitigate the loss of muscle mass and strength and increase mobility. And when combined with aerobic training and balanced training, as you recommended, can actually decrease the risk of falls, which is so, so important.
Sure. So we're talking about a couple of times a week 20 to 30 minutes. We're not talking about going to the gym 7 days a week for 2 hours a day. And we're also talking about doing things that you, simple things that you can do at home. Like, you know, how can you do your sit to stand? That means getting out of a chair and back into it. Can you do that, you know, for a minute in your day? Can you do a few squats, a few lunges, you know, just in your kitchen? We're not talking about any major operation here, but you touched on something, Ciara, that I want to bring awareness to. So we've been talking about things like balance and declines in functional ability and, of course, loss of independence and frailty and falls and all of that type of stuff. But I wonder, do we realise the link between how strong we are and our cognitive health, and what has been noticed, and of course we see it in the scientific community, but from a practical perspective, what we saw, for example, over COVID, where particularly our older individuals were cocooning and they were very sedentary, and, you know, loss of social contact, that we saw other important things whereby cognitive decline was accelerated, and things like dementia and Alzheimer's, the prevalence got greater. So I think it's really important for everyone to know that there's a huge link between muscle strength and cognitive health. And generally, the stronger you are, the better your cognitive health is. And then, of course, the reverse, if you're frail, there's a massive decline in cognitive health. And I think we'll all know, including myself, family members who have suffered those consequences. And I wonder if you had a think about that person. Were they strong? Were they active? Were they engaging in any type of resistance training? Because we know if you do that, you can slow the progression of all of these things. And I'm not sure typically if that association would be made. So I suppose what I'm saying is, if there are threats to cognitive health, or if you're thinking about it now, maybe there's family history and things like that, I'm saying don't underestimate the power of resistance training and keeping your muscles strong.
Yeah, that's so important. And the paper really touched on that. It's something that people don't associate, but it definitely has an impact on cognitive decline.
Sure. And you mentioned a couple of other things there. So you talked about, you mentioned metabolic health. So what benefits can we get there?
Yeah, so resistance training specifically can induce adaptations to improve metabolic health. So ultimately, it's enhanced blood sugar and lipid control, which can increase our insulin sensitivity, you know, decrease our occurrence of type 2 diabetes and other related metabolic health implications. And it can, aerobic and resistance training can improve metabolic health, irrespective of the increase in muscle mass as well. So just to highlight that it's not only increasing your muscle mass and strength, you have other benefits that are so important.
Sure. So, you know, it's unlikely most of us will see big gains in muscle unless we really, you know, really work hard in that space. So with the health guidelines a couple of days a week, you won't see those gains in muscle, but what you will get is all of the other benefits. So you mentioned glucose and lipid control. So what we're talking about there, for example, if you have someone who has high cholesterol and a history of cardiovascular issues, well, then this type of training will be great to regulate lipids in terms of improving the good types of fat and reducing the bad types. And then you mentioned blood sugar levels. So certainly resistance training will control those, absolutely. So muscle contraction, muscle movement basically uses up blood sugar. So for our listeners here, anyone who might have pre-diabetes, anyone who does have diabetes, or a history of diabetes, it's important to listen to this kind of piece of advice, because what we see in people who have diabetes is sarcopenia. So it accelerates, that condition can accelerate muscle loss, and that causes all sorts of problems for us that we've just talked about. But it certainly causes problems for the regulation of blood sugar. So one of the best things that you can do to protect yourself is get those muscles strong and keep moving. So that's really, really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And the final topic of that paper then was mortality, and it just links in here. So it's mortality, again, death from all causes, type 2 diabetes, cancer and cardiovascular disease is reduced with participation in resistance training, independent of aerobic training. So really to highlight is we can get benefits from aerobic training, we can get benefits from resistance training, but ultimately if we do them together, we get even more benefits.
Fantastic. So I think, Ciara, what we're saying is to have a think about our muscles. And if we're not doing resistance training, that we, especially once we leave our 30s, we really need to think about it and start doing some. Would that be fair?
Absolutely. And the big thing, don't think that you have to go to the gym straight away. And even simple things like, Diane, you've said boil the kettle challenge. I know I have my own nana doing 60 second sit to stands, and I keep ringing her to make sure she's doing them, but even that can have a huge impact on our health.
Absolutely. Kira, thanks very much for talking with us this evening. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks a million, Diane.
You are very welcome to the Health and Fitness Show here on Midlands 103. And joining me on the line now is Ursula Harper. She's from the community section in Westmead County Council. Ursula, you're very welcome to the show.
Hi, Diane. Thanks very much for having me on.
Now, you, Ursula, are going to tell us about some really great resource and funding workshops that are coming up in Westmead in the very near future, for specifically for community and voluntary groups. Is that correct?
That's right, Diane. So we're holding two funding workshops for community and voluntary groups around the county. So if anyone out there is a member of a community or voluntary group and are looking for information about grants or support that they can avail of to assist them in the work that they do, we've organised two funding workshops coming up next week, one in Athlone and one in Mullingar, just to give information on a number of different funding and support areas available to them. So the events, we've one daytime in Mullingar and an evening one in Athlone, and we have representatives from a number of different departments within Westmead County Council and from a number of organisations outside of council that offer funding and support to community and voluntary groups. So the events will start off just with information stands, so people can go to the information stand of the relevant kind of department or organisation that they're looking to get information on. And then we have presentations from all of the different speakers. They'll give information on their relevant grants or support, and then we can have questions and answers then at the end. So there'll be lots of information on different grants coming out from, say, the community section in the council and the community grants and the Cathaoirleach Awards. We'll have information on housing grants, details from the environment section, heritage and arts section, and then we have somebody there from sports partnership as well. And then we have a couple of organisations such as the SEAI, we'll have Westmead Community Development talking about leader funding and SciCap funding, and then their support that they offer, like the befriending service and the care and repair service to older people. And we'll also have somebody from the Volunteer Centre.
Fantastic, yeah. So there is lots happening and lots of opportunities for community and voluntary groups to apply for funding, which is fantastic. Ursula, can I just get the dates and the times for those workshops, please?
Absolutely. So the first workshop is taking place next Tuesday, the 31st of January, and that's in Mullingar, and that's taking place in Bloomfield House Hotel. And that's going to start at 10 o'clock, so people can come from 10, and there'll be light refreshments on arrival, and they can avail of the information stands and chat to people individually then on the different grants and supports. And then at about 11 o'clock we'll start with presentations and then questions and answers at the end. And then the second workshop will take place in Athlone, and that's going to be in the Shamrock Lodge Hotel. That's taking place on Wednesday, the 1st of February, and that's an evening one. So that's opening again at 6 for people to be able to access the information stand. And then the presentations will start at 7, and that should finish up at about 9.
Fantastic. And if people would like to get in contact with you before then, do you have any contact details?
Yeah, so all the information for these workshops are up on the Westmead County Council website. And if you go to the Our Services and the Community Development section, you'll see all the information there. Anybody can contact the Westmead Public Participation Network. Also, the information's on their website, which is www.westmeadppn.ie. Or you can send them an email. So that's info@westmeadppn.ie. Or if you want to give a ring, if you just want more information and want to know if it's something that you might be important for you to attend, you can call us on 044-933-8939. And on both the websites where the information is there, there's a link to actually register if you just want to get your name down. And if it's a thing that you can't actually attend either of the workshops, we will be posting all of the presentations, the PowerPoints that were presented on the days, on both websites as well, so on Westmeath County Council website and on the Westmeath PPN website, just for people to access after the event if they can't make it.
That's fantastic, Ursula. I want to wish you the very, very best of luck with those, and the very best of luck to all of the community groups and voluntary groups with your applications. And it would be great to hear about all of the fantastic work that comes out of this over the next while. Ursula, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Diane. Thanks for having me on.
So thank you very much for joining me this evening. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you missed any of it, you are welcome to listen back to the podcast. You can find it anywhere you get your podcast from or on midlands103.com. And as always, if you'd like to join me on the show, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me on healthandfitness@midlands103.com. So have a lovely weekend, everybody, and I look forward to speaking with you next week.
The Health and Fitness Show with Dr. Diane Cooper in association with The Hearing Consultancy. Experiencing hearing difficulties? Book your free hearing test at one of our clinics in Kinnegad, Mullingar or Tullamore and get impartial advice on hearing aids, ear protection, tinnitus help and more. TheHearingConsultancy.ie.